Our opening hymn today is God's Love to Me is Wonderful. The words and music were written by Sidney Cox. In 1907, he moved from England to Canada. 1908, he joined the Methodist Church, but soon converted to the Salvation Army, where he worked from the years 1909 until 1944, eventually becoming a major. Over the course of his life, Cox authored or composed approximately 400 songs, but this one is one of the most well-known. God's Love to Me is Wonderful. Let us pray together, please. Our gracious God, we come before you with grateful hearts for your continuing goodness to us and your provision for us. We continue to marvel at the beauty of the world that you have created for us. It reminds us of your omnipotence. Much as the cleverest of human minds can achieve, the splendour of your creation surpasses us by far. We realize that there are no limits to your creativity, and we thank you that you allow us to see the wonder of it. At this time, however, we are becoming aware of how man is contributing to the disaster of the climate catastrophes around the world. We pray for the leaders of the nations that they will be truly accountable for using the right resources to ensure your beautiful world is safeguarded. We remember those who have been made homeless by the fires and floods. Inspire those who have the resources to help those who have been left with little or even nothing. We also bring to you those who are in places of turmoil, such as Afghanistan, And we pray for the Christians in those countries, that you will reveal through them the joy of following Jesus and discover that he is love, so much preferable to the cruelty of the regimes which are replacing the democratic and fair societies. Much as we think of the physical distress that is being experienced, we're convinced of the even greater importance of the spiritual well-being of people, which can result in caring for each other. Help us, we pray, to be examples of all we pray for others to become. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name is a popular hymn across many Christian denominations. The hymn has been called the National Anthem of Christendom. The lyrics were written by Edward Perrenet while he served as a missionary in India, and it first appeared in November 1779 in the Gospel magazine. The text has been translated into almost every language in which Christianity is known. Diadem is the most favoured tune to the words, and that was written by James Eller, who was born in 1818 in Droylston in Lancashire in England. He was trained as a hat maker, but by the age of 18 he was leading the Methodist Wesleyan Chapel Choir. In 1838 he brought his choir a new tune he had written for the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. It became well received and has been used with the hymn ever since. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. The composition The Holy War, written for brass bands, has been inspired by John Bunyan's book The Holy War and features the Reformation chorale Martin Luther's A Safe Stronghold Is Our God. The Holy War is a magnificent piece of musical writing by Ray Steadman Allen, And although it's a wonderful masterclass of brass band writing, anyone willing to spend time reading Bunyan's book would be rewarded by an understanding of the descriptive nature of the music of Ray Steadman Allen. John Bunyan's allegory, The Holy War, is by no means as well known as his famous Pilgrim's Progress. It is, though, a remarkable book using allegorical characters and situations describing the struggle between the powers of good and evil for the possession of the human soul. One might link the book with Paul's words in the Bible, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The Reformation chorale, "Ein fest Burg," a safe stronghold, our God is still, was chosen for the sake of its associated elements. A plain presentation of the chorale is included in the piece, and Thomas Carlyle's translation of this famous Martin Luther versification of Psalm 46 begins, "A safe stronghold our God is still, a trusty shield and weapon. He'll help us clear from all the ill that hath us now o'ertaken. The ancient prince of hell hath risen, with purpose fell. Strong mail of craft and power he weareth in this hour. On earth is not his fellow." I hope you enjoy this brilliant music, The Holy War. Thank you. God's tithes and our offerings. There are so many good causes to which we are encouraged to donate our finances, and it can sometimes be difficult to make a choice of where to give, because naturally our resources are not unlimited. However, the Bible does give us clear guidance. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, we're encouraged to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I interpret that as a promise from God that if we tithe to him, that is, give one-tenth of our income to his church or mission or Christian ministry, he will ensure the remaining nine-tenths of our income will not only be enough for us, but will be more than enough to share and to bless us and others. May God bless you in your obedience to his word. The origin of our next hymn, Great Is He, is unknown, but these simple but powerful words have become a much-loved hymn across the Christian denominations. It's sung here by a cathedral choir. Great is he who is the King of Kings. Our Bible reading today is John chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Amen. The brass arrangement, "I Walked Today Where Jesus Walked," will be of special interest, of course, to those who have visited Jerusalem. Walking the path that Jesus took to his death and resurrection, one feels a nearness of God. "I walked today where Jesus walked." Our soloist, Sandra Entman, brings to us today the hymn Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. In 1752, Robert Robinson attended an evangelical meeting to heckle the believers. Instead, he listened to the words of the great preacher George Whitefield. 3 years later, he wrote this hymn for his church in Norfolk in England. His words picture Christ as the giver of living water and the shepherd gathering the sheep back into the fold, reminding us of the hope and the grace of God. Come, thou fount of every blessing.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Come thou fount, come thou king, come thou precious prince of peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing, come thou. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind me closer still to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Come thou fount, come thou king, come thou precious prince of peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing, come thou. Bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount. our blessing.
Bible reading earlier in the service, we find Jesus apparently on his own in Jerusalem at the Pool of Bethesda. It was a place which attracted many sick people. The word for pool was columbreton, which comes from the verb columban, which means to dive. The pool was deep enough to swim in. The belief was that the disturbance of the water was caused by an angel, and that the first to get into the pool after the disturbance would be healed of their illness. If we find that a quaint belief, the Bible records many different circumstances in which healing was experienced. In this instance, we find a man lying by the side of the pool, where many invalids, blind, lame, paralysed, gathered each day, hoping against hope to be able by some means to be the first to get into the pool. How many times, I wonder, had he lain by the pool in his 38 years of being an invalid? It would not have been surprising, would it, if he had come there each day just to watch the spectacular miracles which occurred, and had resigned himself to simply wishing it could be him. But apparently this wasn't his attitude, because when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" That might seem a strange question. Who wouldn't want to be healed of an illness which had restricted him so awfully for 38 years? But the man immediately explained that he had no one to help him to get into the pool. His friends, who must have helped him to get to the pool, were apparently prepared to humour him by taking him to the place where he could witness miracles, but weren't prepared to stay with him long enough to help him to be the one who would benefit by helping him into the pool. Blessed is the person who doesn't simply go through the motions of helping someone in the faith, but actively facilitates what will enable a fellow Christian to increase their faith in God. How much more could the lame man's friends have done for him? It's interesting, too, to realise that someone who had been unable to walk for 38 years might not necessarily want to be healed. He obviously had a level of daily support. If he was healed, he would have to find a way to earn a living. But this man's answer to Jesus' question was immediate. He did indeed long to be healed, if only. But there was only one way he could be healed. He was so near to that tantalizing water, so near and yet so far from being healed. We know in our day that so many of us, in what seem to be impossible situations, see our release from them only by what we see as obvious solutions. But God is limitless in the ways he uses to bring about solutions to our impossible problems. The lame man at the side of the Pool of Bethesda saw one solution only. But as he discovered, he didn't need the water for his healing. And we have to bear in mind that in the ancient world, water was a precious commodity. Today, we turn on the tap and we have an unlimited supply of water. But it wasn't so in those days. So a pool, apparently with curative powers, would not have been that unusual. In our day, it's not unknown for us to pray to God for solutions to problems and centre our thoughts on the only way we think God can resolve the situation. Well, perhaps we rob ourselves of the answers to our prayers because we cannot conceive of God acting in other ways to how we think he should act. And here in this account, for the man to receive an impossible healing without getting into the pool first, Jesus asks him to do something impossible. He asks the man to pick up his mat and walk. He hadn't carried his mat for 38 years, let alone walk. But he did as Jesus commanded. He did exactly what Jesus asked him to do. Miracles are a combination of God's power and our willingness to believe, however impossible what he is asking of us may seem to be. We can recall that there are any number of impossible answers to situations. The founder of the Mueller Homes for Children, George Mueller, faced extraordinary situations which, looking for logical solutions, would be impossible. How could anyone, faced with no food to feed the children, have them sit down at the dining table while he went to his study to pray for provision for the children and to see the food arrive ere he had finished praying? Mueller had no one to help him into his pool, but he believed that God could do the impossible, and prayer was Mueller's input. The impossible solution resulted. If I may, I'd like to add a personal illustration. Retiring from active ministry, I felt God's leading to start Vale Ministries. There were no funds available, yet the leading from God was so definite that not to launch the ministry would have been disobedient. It seemed an impossible task, yet through 15 years, God has blessed the impossibility into reality. Often his ways have not been what I might have expected, but oh, the blessings. God's latest development for this ministry is the establishment of the Order of Christian Encouragers, a way of thanking Christians who have been a means of encouragement to others. How could that be brought about? So many hurdles to overcome. Yet God has done and is doing the impossible. I wonder if you would allow me to ask if you might be willing to believe that God is wanting to do something in you and for you, which might not necessarily seem logical or practical for you. The question is the same as Jesus asked the lame man. Do you want? And here you could insert what is on your mind at the moment. And without telling him, well, I will if you will do this or that. Don't limit God, please. Just accept and expect what might seem impossible. Dear friends, God wants to do amazing things in you for your benefit and for the benefit of others. So confident am I that God will grant you a miracle that I look forward to hearing about it. Dear friends, blessings are coming, for God can and will do the impossible for us and in us. Our closing hymn today is Grant Us Thy Peace. The words are by Ivy Morby, who lived in Britain and France from 1903 to 1983. She was known for her way with words and her ability to see God's presence in everyday life. The music is by George Marshall of South Shields Salvation Army Corps. He was a wheelchair user for much of his life because of a mining accident. He persevered through his difficulties to bless so many people with his remarkable musical ability. Grant us thy peace. Voices of evening call speaking to me. our benediction. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.